Hello, this is Kitty again with a correction to a previous episode for which we accidentally exported my random noise instead of an episode. We will be posting a new episode later today. We have been out sick for the last few days and have not yet recorded today's episode. Anyways, we are better now. Okay.
This episode is in fact brought to you by the good people at BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace and distribution site.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 27 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this journey to raise your productivity to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, Episode 600.
Today we have a question from Kane, which will actually be the first of a series of questions from Kane, peppered throughout the cast to add spice to life. He's wanting help with constructing short stories quickly, picking up momentum and running with it, quote, laying down track in front of me as I navigate between checkpoints, beginning, squeeze points, etc., and resolution. So anyway, all silliness aside, that's what these are going to be about, and with that in mind, here is his first question. Kane asks,
how are quality shorts made? A fun little romp, say 20 minutes of screen time, translated into prose.
Well, first you need to start with a really high thread count material and cut it out from the pattern in two sides, a front panel and a back panel. And then you sew the edges together using a double weave stitch or something like that that'll stand up to the stress of jumping in and out of the pool or the sort of rough treatment that underwear undergoes, depending on what kind of shorts you want. And then you turn them inside out. Oh, I forgot the drawstring. Then you have to get a piece of string that's roughly it's about 20% longer than the circumference of the waistband.
I think we're talking about movies, Dan. Or short stories.
Short stories. Okay. He talked about shorts and the pinch points, and, you know, I was about to get to how not to make the gusset too tight. Welcome to the Everyday Tailor. I'm sorry. I'm really punchy because I'm actually running a fever right now and my brain is a little cooked. But I shall endeavor to attempt to give you a proper good answer as well as the silly answer. And if it sucks, I'll re-record this once my temperature is down. You don't think my temperature's ever going to fall, do you?
Not this winter.
How is it not going to fall? It's negative 20 degrees outside some days.
And look how hot we keep it in the house.
Yeah, that's not our fault. Anyway.
How are quality short stories made?
Later in the series, you go into a whole bunch of very specific questions. So because this is a broad approach style question, I'll give you a broad approach style answer. Everything you need to know about a really good short story, you can deduce from watching a Looney Tunes cartoon, a really good one like Nighty Night Bugs. Your hero, or protagonist, even if he isn't a hero, needs a clearly articulable aim. And that aim needs to be frustrated terribly, and he needs to go after it doggedly, but the stakes and the nature of the opposition need to be such that he can rapid cycle quickly and things can be resolved in short order, either by him being killed and everything ending depressingly, or by him winning the day, or what have you. That's, of course, the really facile answer, because I know, with the books under your belt, you know how story structure works. But with a short story, the trick is focus, is concentration, like when you hold a magnifying glass up between the sun and a piece of paper, and that light all gets focused down to a single point. There's a couple of different ways that mentors have told me to do it over the years, and I found them all useful at different points in time. One of them is to have one idea. And it can be a big idea or a small idea, but it has to be dealt with in a small way or in an immediate sort of fashion. Some ideas, like, for example, the notion of a civilization that's on a planet that never sees night because there's multiple stars running around. And then at one point, the stars go into eclipse, everyone experiences dark for the first time, and all hell breaks loose. Well, this can be done as a short story, as with Isaac Asimov's original short story, Nightfall, which is fantastically effective. It can be done as a novella, as with his novella-length expansion of Nightfall. It can be done as a novel, with the novel-length expansion of Nightfall. Or it can be done as a horror film, as happens with the film Pitch Black. All of these are different ways of dealing with the same basic premise, which is that there are dangers in the night, and we don't have the practice to deal with them properly, so it's terrifying. The short story Nightfall deals with it by having an astronomer who's a heretic and kind of an outcast, and everyone thinks he's a loony because he's a conspiracy theorist, talking to a friend of his, trying to convince him that night is coming and that things are going to get very bad because everyone will freak out and go crazy, conducting a couple of small experiments to demonstrate that that everyone will panic in the dark by locking his friend in a closet and stuff like this. And then at the end, the darkness comes, and there's an argument about whether these experiments are valid and what's going on. And so the whole thing is set up as a conversation between the two main characters. And then at the end, reality impinges in upon them, and we hear the screams coming from outside as the lights go out. That's one way to do it. And by choosing that intimate setting, you do it very, very quickly and very closely. That same premise can be done society-wide, as he does with the novel, and I don't remember if I made it all the way through the novel, but it's a much larger scale type of thing with a more thorough look at the breakdown of society in the dark and things like that. The scale, the lens through which you're viewing the premise makes a big difference as to whether it can go quickly. Stories involving one or two characters and that involve basically just the moment of crisis. Like with a novel, you have a long build-up, then you have the moment of crisis, and then you have the resolution. A short story, that long build-up is truncated. So you get just the last leg of the build to the crisis and the resolution. Sometimes you get just the moment of crisis. Sometimes you get just the build-up, like in my story Eyes of Wax, which is one of what I consider my least successful stories in terms of working well. But that was an attempt by me to do a story that ended just before the climax, but with the climax being a foregone conclusion, because I happen to really like short stories like that, because it leaves the really, really freaky part to your imagination in a way that it's very difficult to duplicate if you actually explored it all the way through. So another one of the tricks to a good short story is to truncate your time frame, truncate your dramatic arc, or select only a slice of the overall dramatic arc to push through on. So find an idea that scales small, tell it at a small scale, tell only part of the story, and tell it in such a way as you make the whole story seem relevant. Or, that's one method, or find a idea that plays out fairly rapidly. 20 minutes of screen time is a good metric to use, and you can learn a lot about short stories by watching the old Twilight Zone series, many of which were actually adaptations of existing short stories, either by Rod Serling or by other science fiction, fantasy, and horror authors of the time. You learn a lot about how the construction of those things works by watching old Twilight Zone episodes or listening to old X-1 or Arch Obler's Lights Out. We'll link to those in the show notes because a lot of those have fallen into the public domain. Let's see. Is there anything else I'm missing? There's one other thing. This is another way of looking at the short story and understanding what it does. A good short story needs jeopardy, decisions, consequences, and nothing else. If you've got those three, and they can be implied, especially the consequences can be implied, but even if it's implicit, you have to have jeopardy, decisions, and consequences. And if you've got those three things, you cut everything else out, and you can get a really good, powerful short story, whether that short story is funny, or terrifying, or dramatic, or thought-provoking, or romantic. Those are the three essential elements you have to keep. Everything else is expendable. Or, master the art, you don't have to get rid of anything else that you would put in a novel. But what you do is you put it in implicitly, you put it in around the edges, you put it between the lines instead of in the text. And you can pack a massive amount of storytelling in between the lines by manipulating your readers into telling the rest of the story that you're intending them to hear without them realizing it. And of course, the classic example is the Algonquin Round Table Short Story Contest, where someone on the round table came up with a 6-word short story, "For sale, baby shoes never worn." That implies that a couple got pregnant, they were given a set of shoes for their baby, or they bought a set of shoes or had one made, and then the baby either died or the woman miscarried, and they're trying to get rid of this stuff to divest themselves of the tragedy. All of that stuff is in 6 words. You could fill a novel with that same story. It all depends on the lens through which you're telling it, and you can offload a whole lot of work onto the reader by properly packing your story in between the words. Very advanced techniques, very difficult to do, but you can begin to learn it by paying attention to what you read into stories that aren't there in the text, especially when it comes to human universals. The more universal the experience is, the better it'll translate across subcultures. So, that's what I got. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much for sending in the question, and we're going to have a lot of fun with this series. I'll see you tomorrow, when hopefully my temperature will be lower.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2018 by J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2018 Artistic Whispers Productions. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.